Welcome to the Waste Not What Not podcast. I'm Philippa Ross, human ecologist, enthusiologist, author and energy healer, bringing you inspirational interviews, news and tips to rebuild the relationship between people and the planet, the way nature intended, by revitalising our natural resources, minimising waste and maximising human potential. I trust you'll discover seeds of hope for a vibrant future so you can cultivate and transform them to suit your own lifestyle, in order for us to collectively create a world where reverence for the diversity of all life is honoured. You'll find all the show notes in the description and lots more about me and my work at philippaross.com. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, be sure to share far and wide. Hello, Wastebusters. Welcome to April's episode of the Waste Not Want Not podcast. We have an auspicious few months ahead of us as the planets dance in the cosmos, creating a wonderful opportunity for us to strengthen the relationship we have with ourselves and deepen our connection to the intelligence of nature. My guest, Bridget Clare, is a powerhouse of information to help us remember we are a part of nature. We are her and she is us. Some may see these trying times as ominous or chaotic, but I encourage you to embrace whatever disruption or challenge you're faced with as a chance to sow the seeds for the change you want to see in the world, as they will dissolve the incessant fear-mongering we're fed that would have you believe we're doomed. Our planet is precious, something we're reminded of every year on the 22nd of April, when International Earth Day is celebrated to raise public consciousness about our environment. This year's focus is on the commitment they have to end plastics for the sake of human and planetary health. They're demanding a 60% reduction in the production of all plastics by 2040. On a more animated note, it's also World Penguin Day on the 25th of April to celebrate my most favouritest of animals. This day came about 52 years ago when researchers on Ross Island noticed the Adélie penguins in Antarctica began their migration. Today, 11 of the 18 species are threatened by changing climate and mankind's greed for krill that disrupts their food source. Moving on to human news now, my guests Ollie and Harry Ferguson, who I interviewed in August last year about the model ships Erebus and Terra they made, have earned a second Guinness World Record in early March for the most travelled toy ship, a Playmobil model they actually made 5 years previously that travelled 15,500 kilometres. Terra recently passed the 6,000 kilometre mark, so it still has some way to go to beat the record they previously set themselves. If you haven't listened to that episode, I'll leave a link in the show notes, as their spirit of adventure and curiosity is contagious. As is my guest today, Bridget Clare, whose love, reverence and connection to nature will give you a new appreciation of how miraculous the human body is. Pin your ears back and listen in to hear how she weaves the wisdom she's gained as a medical herbalist, naturopath, nutritionist, health coach and Rawanga practitioner to expand humanity's understanding of the unseen life force within us all. Welcome to the show, Bridget. It's an absolute delight to have you with me. I'm really excited because I haven't come across someone who has such reverence, connection and understanding of Mother Earth. And the fact that you have Zach Book as your mentor, I love you even more. And I missed out on him coming in November. I didn't know till like a day later.
I actually got a ticket to go and meet him. And I got to hug him. And not that I'm girl fanning, but I am. But
would you not?
You know, he's a man he's a being that is just so full of light that his energy, he just expands everybody in the room. His way of being and what he shares is just phenomenal. And because he's so in touch, he's so connected. Getting to hug him was just like hugging light and love and beauty all in one. You know, it's not that arousal. It is arousal, but it's deep connection to love. And yes, that I got to be in that space was just fantastic.
The podcast is all about building a relationship with nature, and I don't really think people understand what that is, because it's intangible. It's a magical force that none of us really understand. And we get bits of information here, there, but actually you have a beautiful way with the work that you do, that you have integrated it and grounded it to give us an understanding. So what is your understanding about our relationship with nature?
I am nature. Nature is me. Ko o te tau, ko te tau, ko o. When we use the cultural languages, like our Māori te reo, the languages in every culture have been built off nature. So it's the nature sounds that have been able to bring in this vibrational energy for us to be able to communicate. And that communication comes in this frequency, right, that we all hear, comes into our body, vibrates through us and creates this ripple effect because we are 70% water. Now, in structure, right, we're 99% molecular hydrogen in actual structure chemically. But when we look at that, we need to suspend this energy. And of course, light reflects through water well. And so does this vibrational energy. And every cell in our body performs this exercise. It has water in there, but in a gel state because of the electrical charge. If we're not electrically charged, we're not alive, right? And nothing is alive.
Expand on that?
Yeah, sure. So our electrical potential, we're hydro electromagnetic beings. We're 70% water and structure, and that is predominantly because every cell in our body holds water. Now, that water is held in a gel state. That gel state is created by the electrical charge that enables it to congregate. And we have this microbiome within this that lives within that energy. And that is what creates the bioelectro potential of us. And it is that electrical potential that keeps us bound and moving and alive. I mean, when we look at soil, we can actually reflect most things back to nature and most things back to our body in nature. So there's many layers to us and there's many layers to nature, as we can see. But if that soil is dry and cracked, there's no life in it. When it's moist and it's got oxygen in it and it's a humus, it's got life in it. And that actually could be charged. And it is earthed, right? It's earthbound energy. This whole planet is like an electrical, or should I say a battery. Papatuanuku, our Earth Mother, is a battery. She provides the ions for us to be able to absorb into our body. When we talk about electrical charge, we put it into acids and alkalines because we've got a positive and we've got a negative. And this is what most people talk about around nutrition, right? The alkaline, the acidic. There's a lot to comprehend in that world, but alkaline and alkalizer are quite different. We know an alkalizer, it takes away the acid. So it neutralizes acids. Whereas when we've got something that's alkaline, it's 9.4 on the scale of portion of hydrogen, pH. So that's the percentage of hydrogen. And so when we have more hydrogen, we've got a higher pH, and that makes it alkaline. When we've got a lower portion of hydrogen, we've got an acidic environment, and that creates more of a positive effect. A lot of us are in this acidic environment a lot of the times. Now, when we take this water into our body, it automatically changes to the pH of what our body is. We're not going to get a 9.5 to walking through our 3.4 stomach. It's going to change to the acidity there because that's where we need to work it. We change the acidity in the gut and the stomach, we're not going to actually change much of the food coming through. And that's to be able to break down our proteins. But that's another story. When we're talking about this charge, when it comes into the body, it's a lot about giving the charge, and it needs to be alive to create barriers, to create boundaries, because we are just an event of boundaries everywhere in our body. The gut, the gut lining is a boundary to stop mm-hmm. anything coming in. This is our core. What comes in here really comes through us, and we decide what comes through that boundary and does serve us, and what goes out the back end. It's not until we really start to focus in on how this works in our body. Well, mostly when we look at our gut, let's go there. Or let's look at other boundaries in our body first. We've got our kidneys, our kidney tubules. We've got our vasculature. We've got our lungs. All of these are boundaries, and most of them are one cellular layer thick. Now, when you have one cell layer thick, you think about our skin. Our skin is actually seven layers thick. And there's probably about seven on top of that sloughing off that are dead and coming off the top. And then from underneath, they rebuild, and it takes around, you know, that month process for it to come up the top and slough off. In the gut, we have one layer. It's like half the diameter of a human hair. And these cells are held together by what we call tight junctions. It's like Velcro. Joined together to make the micro into the macro, and that is us. So we need to keep these boundaries strong, and then deeper to those tight junctions, which are the Velcro, is the gap junctions. And gap junctions are like the desmosomes, or the fiber optics that carry light from each cell to each cell. And this comes in through our body as light, information turning to light, which feeds each cellular process and tells each one what's going on. When cells become disconnected, it goes into chaos. It loses its purpose. It hasn't got the bigger picture anymore, because the micro is connected from the macro, and it loses its place. So it's lost its DNA. It's lost its purpose. And what would that cell become? Mutated. And it starts to try and extract the life and the purpose out from each one of the cells around it. And it starts to create this in the body. And this is cancer when it becomes disconnected or disease. And this is what cities are to our whenua, suck the life out of them.
What I'm hearing there is the importance of light, the soil and water. I mean, it's getting it right back to basic. It's getting out in the garden in the morning in the bare feet and grounding yourself in the soil to receive that and receive the light. 10 minutes light in the morning is important. And going back to what you were saying about the water, because I have a Kangen water machine, I drink 9.5 water. But you were saying whatever you bring in, if your gut is a 3.5, is it not going to change it, uplift it a little bit?
No, it changes to that pH. It has to. That in a way, in the way that it creates through the body, we can't sustain that. Water is all about the electrical potential. So that's what we need to look at, is how alive the water is that we are consuming. Mm. When it's alive, it's full of good bacteria. It's vortexed like nature does. When we look at water and how we can relate this back to nature, there's so many ways, and there's so many people doing this, but water is us. We've given personage to whanganui, te awa. It is me. I am water. Water is me. And it's because we know intrinsically that this is us. And the more damage we do to it, the more we split it, the more we kill that electrical charge. Anything that's coming through the taps is going to actually create that electrical charge to die off. There's no real life in it, and as well as the chemicals. And they add fluoride to the water as well, which is not necessary, actually. What we really need to deal with is the amount of sugars that people are eating if we've got issues with our teeth, and look at the microbiome. A lot more research has been coming through on the biome, and it's the way that the sugars actually change the microbiome. And if we're looking at the water, it's that changes as well. It's all about the life force within the water. And if you look at Vida Austin, she photographs the water. The water observes us.
Yeah, I interviewed her right at the beginning. I think she was about my fifth podcast. She's really, really taken off. You can ask water to give you a message. It holds the energy of whatever's around it. And the crystallology that she does is just phenomenal. And again, this goes back to, because we can't see it, because our senses are very limited to the bandwidth that we, the frequencies that we actually do. This is where the intuition and everything else comes in. But if we get back to basics, nurture and feed ourselves and recognize how we can partner with nature to lift ourselves up, that's vital, isn't it?
We need to learn to remember, to forget, to remember. Exactly what you've said is the programming has limited us. And if I go back to hugging Zach, he expanded me in ways that I will explain a little bit here. So we have the ability, when I walk into the room, to expand you by releasing my mRNA. So my DNA in my cells give my cell a purpose. I have a liver cell. It has the purpose. It's a hepatocyte. It stands strong in its purpose for its life. How blessed it is to be one of my hepatocytes, making bile for me to be able to get rid of toxins out of my body so they can be water soluble to move out. That's what my liver does for me. So I thank it every day, because we've got so many toxins in our world that we can't see. But when we look at this and how we've been limited in our beliefs that we need to go and seek healing from others, we are our source. We know ourselves best. From year zero, we're taught to give away our health to somebody else that doesn't know our body. And it's really reclaiming that power and knowing yourself to be the self-regulating, self-organizing, self-healing, miraculous phenomena you are. And we don't give ourselves credit for that because we don't know. And it's not until we open this door of intrinsic knowing that we know how deep that power is and how dear they have taken away from us. And we would have expanded. A lot of people talk about our DNA being a double helix. I've been talking about it being a triple helix for years. Now I'm sure I've got a quadruple helix, or, you know, whatever that is in the world of chemistry. I should know this because I've done it. We're meant to be such evolved beings that we should have 12-stranded DNA by now. Our DNA works, and this is coming back to this light and the frequency of us. Everything that we consume is information, whether that be in something you put in your mouth or up your nose, and in fact, you smell things, that awakens the most ancient in you, because this olfactory area is the first to form when we're conceived, and it's the most ancient. So our sense of smell, our pineal, gives us the light that makes us this holographic image that we are. But when we come back to that information coming in, all of this light, through our ears as information, through our eyes as vision, through our nose, you know, the aromas are amazing. And those aromas are very healing too, depending on their structures and how they've, you know, if they're coming from nature or if they're synthetic. And it really starts to help our body to realign with this energy. And so this comes in, it's information. And that information is light. It comes through those fiber optics of us and tells our body what's happening. It shows us what's happening. And if there's any disconnection, then sometimes that can go on to chaos. But that light through that fiber optic pathway through each and every cell gives us the ability to be informed.
To me, you know, information is the process, is the intelligence of the universe that we need to connect to. And it's interesting, you were talking about reclaiming ourselves, because the program that I do is about reclaiming your sovereignty, and it is being able to connect to yourself and your needs. And one of the primary exercises I do is very simple with the five senses. You'd be amazed how many people do not know what they like, the taste, smell, touch, sound, it's a complete awareness. And so I think this whole process is about empowering people to evolve through using nature and to stop and pause and to understand their own connection to it. Because some people like the smell of lavender is a big one. I don't like the smell of lavender. It smells like mothballs to me, but I like the color and I love seeing fields of it. But it's also looking at what you do like and what you don't like. And it's surprising. Most people, when they've done the exercise, they recognize that all the things that they like are out there in nature, but they don't connect to it on a regular basis. And so it is whether you can physically or within your mind, it's about drawing in that information to inform the body to change the form of how the body is. It's just phenomenal, isn't it? It is so easy, but we've been so robotic and limited. So how did you actually get into all this? How has your journey evolved? Were you insightful as a young girl or what?
I wasn't in this world as a young girl. Yeah, I was in a daydream. It's interesting because I remember once I was left behind at the beach. I was on a swing. I was only young and mum was there. You know, it wasn't intentional. Nothing's intentional. It didn't bother me. There were about 12 of us children. There were four women. We were in Whangamata. I've been going there since year zero. My grandparents had their whare there and we used to just get lost in nature. It was all gravel. There was only one shop and everything else was the Nahiri. We'd go out walking in the Nahiri across the road and just get lost for the day. Me and my sister and my brother, all my cousins, and all of us would be there, or our friends. So anyway, this one time I remember, and there were 12 children and I was number three after this event, because they had to number us and took us off the list because they'd left me behind. They turned back up. It was fine. I was on a swing. I was having a good time with everybody else there, but nobody else there. But they freaked out. And this gave me a sense of, oh, I didn't realize that I was meant to be in your world with you and doing all these structured things. And it was like this daydream that I've kind of been in, and always with the plants. My first reaction when I go to a plant is to put it straight to my nose. I want to know it. I want to smell it. I want to be it, because we are that. And that is what the intelligence of nature is. She seeds us. She gives us the light. She gives us the intelligence to be able to adapt. When you watch her, just like Veda watches water, water observes us, and you can see that because it has memory. It creates the memory of, and it observes us. So it creates this of what we're creating. And this is really interesting because we can go into this realm of conjuring and what we're creating and how we're actually able to bring that to life more in the physical now, whereas years ago it wasn't so in our face. And perhaps that's because of the AI that's come through, and we need to start to integrate this into how we can bring this energy through and use it in better ways for us to move forward without this limiting programmed system that we've all been part of. So as a girl, I was in a daydream mostly, and then I went through school not achieving. I was always the average kid and not,
I was, you know, below average
doing anything. I probably was just watching outside because I wanted to be out there and playing. What were we doing 9 to 3, sat down, fed information that's not able to evolve our DNA? No wonder we're just too stranded, like the bunny rabbit ears on top of the TV that we used to have, and it picks up the vibration frequency of everything and makes that into a hologram, into the picture. That is pretty much where they've kept us with the DNA. We need to start evolving this so that we can make our picture bigger, right? And many people come from their heart space and many people come from their head space. And this is all good. It's where you want to work from. But when you really get to your core, the core of you, the core of us as wahine, we are the portal of life. we are here to be protected. We can't be confused of that. And when we see this in nature, we can see this too. It's all around nature. The feminine is always protected to bring the life forth so we can adapt with everything that's going on around us. And when we look at the center, our sacrum and our hip area makes this satellite. And this satellite dish enables this power. Once we reclaim it and take it back and brings the light back up through us out to our pineal gland to be able to make the holographic image that we are, our purpose and why we're here, and really standing strong in this light that we're able to emanate out through us and shapeshift, adapt. We are adaptive beings. I am not who I was yesterday. I have been seeded with lots of other things. And if I bring it back to that DNA within the nucleus, there's so much information they don't know. I mean, they call like 98.5% of it junk DNA. Hello, what's junk? And, you know, so this imprints onto our mRNA, and mRNA is memory, ribonucleic acid. It creates a blueprint for us to be able to build from. And so that mRNA leaves us. It leaves us in our breath. It leaves us in our saliva. It leaves us in our perspiration. So when I go into a room, I literally seed you with my mRNA. So you have been evolved and then reciprocated from you to me, because you're evolving me with your mRNA, right? And so when we look to nature and we look to how she's evolved and how strong she stood for so many years and all of the assaults that has happened on her, particularly in the last 200, but in the last 50 years, we've really done some damage. No longer can we stand in that victimhood. You know, we are the micro of the macro. We have the micro of the macro within us that makes the bigger picture. We are the micro of the bigger picture, and we need to realize that. And we have been consumers of the system. So it's not until we change our thought patterns on that and make a better system going forward. Consumers are the biggest corporate in the world. We have big say.
But it's also, to me, speaks about taking ownership and recognizing, because the favorite quote of all the listeners and the guests I've had is, be the change you want to be in the world, and recognizing the exponential effect we have in the work that we do. This is why I do this, to sow seeds of hope to other people that though they maybe feel down and they've lost connection to everything, there's a seed that comes out to think, oh, that's interesting. And then they follow the path and it grows and grows and grows. And so the important thing is to stop the finger pointing. Yes, we know there are people out there that are doing shit, but we have to take ownership of ourselves. And the more of us that do that collectively, it has a collective power that can make this shift. And it's because it's of a higher energy, it doesn't take so much effort, because what's happening on the dirty is a very low frequency. If to make an analogy, you know, it's the acidic side of things, the low pH as opposed to the high pH. We can create that change. And as you say, we do have the power within us, but it's recognizing it, connecting to ourselves, connecting to Mother Nature, and just allowing that whole thing to flow. I love your symbology. The listeners couldn't see it, but when you did the bunny ears with the TV, it's all out there, isn't it? I would encourage people to take 10 minutes, three times a day, to stop doing anything, thinking anything, just sit down and look out to Mother Nature and just see where it takes and watch the energy within the spaces as well. Because what you were saying about the RNA, you know, it's 98.5 is junk. But what we tend to forget is the black hole, the spaces between stuff, where there's a huge portion of energy. We could dive really, really deep into that, but we'll leave that one for the moment.
I will just mention that actually, that's vacuum space. One square centimeter of vacuum space has more energy potential in it than this whole planet and universe, because we're such beings. We're just reflective. We're not this mass that we're given. I love what you said, Philippa, because it's about being self-responsible, and that's taking the time to know how to respond to oneself. And that is actually reclaiming your power. Gone are the days that we need this victimhood, that we need to say, oh, I'm sick. Oh, I caught this. Oh, I caught that. And instead of taking responsibility for our behavior and our choices, if we're not discerning about what quality is, then learn that, because that's really important. Your body is simply an ecosystem. It's a compost system, ecosystem. So what are you going to throw on your compost? And what are you going to throw into your ecosystem? And this is really becoming more prevalent, because the lower vibrational stuff, the processed stuff that's not alive, and you're feeding your body that. Your body is a live organism that needs to thrive and adapt to its environment. If it has to adapt to something that's not alive, it's going to take time and it's going to take energy away from you. So it's your choice. And when we get back into nature,
it's keeping us up with heavier, dense energy. And so it's so compact, although there is space between, there isn't that much space between. And that's why we feel depressed. I mean, I call it the D syndrome. So we're disconnected, we're dispirited, disheartened, and despondent, depressed, and disillusioned at the moment. And so it's all to do with the level of energy that we're on. So look to nature. Think of something that's going to lift your energy. There are very simple things. We don't all need to understand the intricacies, but actually take that time and reclaim that power that you have within you and listen to your body, because we hear these expressions in a gut reaction. Hello? It's such an antenna, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's as well, we have to go a bit deeper than that now. We have to actually not focus on the ups and the feel goods, because that's where we can fall and we have these fluctuations in energy. It's about finding the neutral space. When we're in that neutral space where there's zero energy, you're not stressed, you're not excited, you're not sad, you're not feeling all these feelings all the time. And don't get me wrong, we're human, we're here to feel. I am because I feel, not I am because I think. A lot of people get caught up on this as well, which is a bit of a bummer, because our emotions are there to show us what we're feeling in that moment. A lot of people hold on to that and define themselves through those emotions. We're water.
But I would say the big thing is that people forget emotions is energy in motion. So we have received information, energy that is in motion, that is informing us, whereas other people think that the brain informs the emotions. I would go the other way.
You feel your emotions in your core, right? You feel it down here. That's where it gets. And then it moves up. And usually the emotions get stuck in the lungs because we can't speak, or we can't really voice what we're feeling. One of the biggest things here is the English language actually limits us to tell other people how we're actually feeling. And when you're walking down the beach and you feel like you're going to have an orgasm from walking on the shells and bare feet, and it feels so beautiful on all your nerves, and you really focus into that, there's no words to explain it. They limit us. You know, when we're walking down the road and we're saying good morning to each other, we don't have the ability to decipher how different words are spelled. It's still the same vibrational energy as you would wishing someone a day of mourning. So, you know, it's Ata Marie whānau, or it's Mordena, or it's grand rising, you know, and rise with the sun. Because like you said, you know, in the morning when we can watch her rise, she's our biggest energy source. Don't block her. We've done so much damage to ourselves and everything by blocking her and we don't need to. It brings so much synthesis into our plant life and into us. And that's, you know, a lot of how we're able to get the energy and evolve. But, you know, when we bring it back to seeing her, she actually activates us. When we watch her through our lens, she activates our gut lining to make serotonin. And serotonin feel good. And not only that, she helps us make melatonin, because when we make serotonin, our serotonin makes through the day melatonin, which comes up and stores in the pineal gland. An hour after the sun goes down, we release that melatonin. And most people push through that because this is the circadian rhythm. Nature tells us these cycles. We ignore her. We watch, you know, our artificial light all the time, and our bodies don't know what time of day it is, or should we be going to bed now, or should we be waking up now? What's happening? Because we're in this artificial all the time. But when we get our feet on the ground, when we get in the morning sun, we can hear the birds. It tells our body where we're at in that circadian rhythm. And at night as well, when we watch the sun go down and we hear the birds at night, tells our body where we're at in that circadian rhythm. We can really realign back into it and feel our way. Emotions, they should be flowing through us like water. We often pick up a rock and put it in our heart, and that can become sharp around the edges. Get rid of the rocks, guys. We don't need them. Emotion wasn't there to define you, and nor was it meant to hurt you in that way. Nobody, I don't think, ever has that intent. And I think that we need to see this different perspective. And this perspective is, did I tell the story about the fish and the energy?
No.
And Zach, he tells this story where he was swimming and he just swam out. He was about 2 miles offshore or something. He was just in his element, and this big grey cloud came towards him, and he was like, and he uses, you know, swear
words. You can say fuck.
Yeah, he's, oh, I'm fucked. You know, and then next thing, he's just surrounded and became one with this school of fish. And they were just these little sparkly fish, and he was moving with them. Not one of those fish touched him. He would just move, and they were all moving with him, and he was just having the best time. And then next thing, these bombs were going off. He was like, what's going on? And this is nature showing us, right? And it was pelicans diving into the water eating the fish, and his first reaction was like, go away, no, don't, you know, these are beautiful fish, they're my friends, I'm one with them. And then he, because he was one with the fish said to him, no, this is our next journey. Our energy is now going to become that of the pelican wings. This is our journey. Because as we know, energy never, ever is lost. It's only ever transformed.
Wow.
How beautiful. And how?
I know. It opens up so much, because I was talking last month with Charlene about people's attitude to death and recognizing we're balls of energy. It's understanding that that energy is continuously transforming that is really, really important. So life is a cycle. And we've come to the end of our cycle today, but because we could talk for millions of hours. So apart from Zach, is there a person or a book that has really influenced you over time?
I've just written a chapter in a book which just released, actually. It's called Unstoppable. And it's got 25 women's stories of overcoming adversity in business. I want to honor myself for my journey. This is what we don't do. And this is something that I really, really want others to take on board, is there's no guilt in this. I talk about this being given the ability to say, I got a disease, when we really, from behavior and choices, have created that with ourselves. And we can actually, we are the source of our own healing. We can change that. And so every moment I get, I actually give myself a hug. I quite often get down on the floor and hug my legs. I walk with my ancestors. I hug who I've come through, my lineage. For us to be here now, there's so many people in this realm, and we're here at the tipping point of all things. We all have the power within us to change this world, to take it back and make the world we want without these chemicals and without this destruction. get back into nature and know yourself. Thank yourself. Your cells, 70 trillion cells, self-organizing and making the beautiful, miraculous being you are. All have to look at ourselves and be in awe of ourselves. I'm in awe of all my mentors. I've got so many, and Zach's one, but I have my roa. I've done a lot of traditional Māori medicine. I have a lot of mentors in there that I follow, and one in particular, actually mother and daughter, and Emma Raina passed last year, so she's on the other side. And her mum, Awhitia, they took me through level 4 and 5 of Aroa. And the journey that I had there was just phenomenal. We're the potiki of the world. We're the youngest born. We've been the most distractive and extractive. I don't want to place blame, and it's not about guilt, but it's about making better ways forward and being thankful for who we are, honouring ourselves in this journey. I mean, I could thank so many people, but there is one thing that I love, and it's from Rumi, and it's silence is the language of God. Anything else is a poor translation. And when we look at
that's fascinating, because I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and again, that the silence came up and the listening side of things, because we are uncomfortable, and it's discomfort. It's another D word, the discomfort we feel in the silence and the space in between. That is what we need to connect to.
Mm. And that's where the magic happens. Yes. We have so much vacuum space within us and within our realm. This realm, when you look outside of it, the sun energy beyond that veil, it's silent. It's not until it actually hits our realm and it comes into this vibrational energy that we're able to create this holographic vibration. So I think what we're actually going into is this beautiful vibrational frequency, energy, healing, which we all have within us. It's just awakening, and people call it the awakening. They look outside of themselves for that, but it's the awakening of our intrinsic knowledge. We all have it, and particularly our wahine. We were hunted through the witch hunts for our energy because of this. This goes back thousands of years because of the way we can create this energy, and this time we're here to stay. We're here to play. We're going to change the world, and I'm here to stay to play.
Awesome. It's that playground, and in that journey of self-discovery and connecting to the self, you have a deeper connection to nature because you're drawing on her, and you open up and you will receive more information from her that makes more sense. I won't be surprised when you say you go to nature if you're in a funk, but is there anything specific that you do?
Yeah, totally. The more naked I can get in nature, the better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's seeding my body. It's creating the ability for me to adapt and be with her. She adapts through the day, through the hour, through the minute, through the season, through the year. We watch this, and it's also our cosmos. We've lost this connection with the whole. And when I talk about that micro up to the macro, it's really honoring that. So what I do is, if I can get into the moana, into the sea, that's what I'll do. But bare feet on the ground, and that's always anyway. And it doesn't matter if it's concrete, grass, or the nahiri floor, or the sand on the beach. You're still picking up the irons, so just get your feet on the ground. And if you can watch her with your naked eye, any nature signs, you know, even when you wake at night, get up and look at Marama. She's calling you for something. Let her see you, watch her, and then get back into bed and let that bring you peace and the joy that you're missing. Because through the night is when we do all of our regeneration, and we actually, you know, digest much of what we've done from the day. Sometimes that can wake us, and usually it's the liver because it's finding it hard to detox much of it. But if we allow nature to reseed us, it often allows us to resettle and realign and reorganize back into where we're meant to be, and just tells our body where we're meant to be.
Oh, So if I was your fairy godmother and could grant you one wish in the world, what would it be and why?
Buy me the whenua in the South Island and I will go and turn it into a huge regenerative. I think there's actually a lot of regeneration down there, regenerative farms there. And that's all I'd do is just go and love our land and get rid of all the chemicals in the world. Full stop, end of, they don't serve us. And there's a lot of pharmaceuticals out there that are not serving us. And if that is what you've been prescribed, you can change that. It's a label. We need to burn those labels. Our body is a miraculous organism. So we just need to feed it the right ingredients.
As an organism, it is our divine right to have an orgasm, like you were talking about walking along the beach, because you're absorbing all the beautiful essence and information, intelligence of nature that is revitalizing you. So thank you so much for your wisdom. It's been truly delicious. We could speak for 3,000 hours. And I love a deep conversation and being informed. So bless you for your contribution.
Thank you, Philippa. It's been an honour to be here with you. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
I don't know about you, but I'm inspired to spend more time to be in nature and feel into the unseen forces she has. Since recording the interview, Bridget has launched a regular YouTube podcast called Radiance Revolution with two wellbeing friends, and her unstoppable book reached number one on Amazon. Links to both are in the show notes. And if you're intrigued by Zach Bush's work and the Farmer's Footprint movement, you can find links to these in the show notes, along with an interview I had with regenerative farmer Greg Hart, who I actually got to meet in person just 2 weeks ago. Greg is part of the New Zealand Farmers Footprint organisation, who are on a mission to unite, inspire and accelerate the movement towards regenerative food systems as a means to restore human and planetary health. If you've enjoyed the pearls of wisdom shared today, please share your experience by writing a review, as they're always appreciated, as are the ideas for a subject or guest you'd like me to consider in the future. Just email me on info@philipparos.com. And don't forget to share this episode. So until next month, have fun, dig deep, and open your mind to a world of possibilities. Because what you think is projected, magnified, and reflected back into your life. Live life with a generous heart. Look at the world through a kaleidoscope of infinite possibilities, and take steps to minimize waste and maximize your own potential.